This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. In today's news, Congressman Seth Moulton announces that he will seek re-election to his second term come November, while Sheriff Frank Cousins has told MSO News Sports that he will not be seeking re-election. Let's just listen in to a quick comment that he made yesterday to us at the Middleton facility.
Well, after 20 years of being the sheriff of Essex County, I've decided today is nomination day to pull out papers. I've decided not to pull my nomination papers out, and I feel very comfortable about that. And I've really enjoyed being the sheriff here in Essex County and serving the citizens. And it gives me an opportunity to kind of look back on things we've done.
Well, that's Sheriff Frank Cousins, who I think has been on the job for about 20 years there, announcing that he is not seeking re-election. We have the complete interview with him coming up in our program here today on North Shore Today, Rick. And in that interview, he touches on his detox program that he started there just about a couple of months ago, actually, now. And you get all the details on that. Plus, we do have a post up from yesterday on that with some information on the program. So it's a very interesting program. It parallels what's going on in Gloucester and what's going on in the rest of the state by addressing the opioid problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a new way of looking at things and a new way of dealing with it. And hopefully, it'll find some success. And keep in mind, I did hear the interview that you did with them. They're still going after suppliers, too. I mean, they're still going after the criminal element as hard as always. But now they're trying to get the, hit the demand portion of it as well and help people. So, yeah, interesting that he is retiring. I was surprised at that, or at least not running for re-election after 20 years on the job.
Yeah, the Salem News did have a story today. I think the Gloucester Times had probably the same story, as a matter of fact. But he is, he's going to go on. He's got a number of other things. He's on a bank board, he told us, and he also is teaching at Merrimack College, right down 114. But, you know, what was interesting is I'm trying to think how many inmates they have, different beds if they have, or people they're serving in Middleton. But it could be around 1,200, but they have a number of other facilities under the direction of the Essex County Sheriff, which numbers about 2,000. So that is a lot of a quote-unquote inmates, if you will, or people under the jurisdiction, if you will, of the Essex County Sheriff. So there's a lot of people there. He didn't share that with me. Somebody else on the staff did. But anyways, that's just one of the things going on. So we've got that interview coming up in our program. And again, we do have the complete post on that on our website from yesterday.
Sounds good. And it's a good interview. And I enjoyed listening to Frank Cousins, your interview with him. A couple of things, Bill. From the Gloucester Times, they have a sort of a summary of the fires that took place last weekend. Ray Lamont talked to Fire Chief Eric Smith, and most of the fires took place because of the cold. And Chief Smith said, it's just the things you're supposed to be aware of. Let's just go back over those and be careful. And he said, you actually can use a blowtorch to heat your pipes, but you'd best know what you're doing. I guess that's pretty sage advice. The other thing is, the Gloucester Stage Company will be opening its 37th season coming up, I believe, is in May. And Israel Horowitz has a new play that he will be premiering at the Gloucester Stage Company. And, he is the director emeritus at the Gloucester Stage Company. And he's got a brand new play that will be, it'll be premiering at the end of the season. It'll be the last play of the season. I believe it's in September. So Israel Horowitz will be debuting a brand new play, and the world premiere will be in Gloucester.
Wow, you're gonna try out for that? Gonna try to get a role in that play, Rick?
I don't know about try out, but I'd love to interview Israel Horowitz when he's around. Recently, not so recently, but when he was living in Gloucester in the summer times with he and his wife Jillian. Jillian's a terrific runner, and she ran a lot of races on the North Shore and won a lot of them. And also Israel himself is a runner, and he stays in great shape. And I've seen him around town a lot. Saw him this winter, as a matter of fact. And I believe he's in his mid-70s now, and you would think he was in his 40s. I mean, he looks in fantastic shape, and he looks great. So hope he keeps pumping those plays out, and, it's great.
No, I remember covering a few races years and years ago. She used to run in the at least in the Beverly race. She actually competed in a lot of little North Shore races and probably some bigger ones as well. But you're right. Jillian Horowitz, right? I think that was her name, right?
Yep.
Or is her name, I should say. Some other news, looking at the item today, the daily item out of Lynn, there's a story on Cops for Kids with Cancer from Bridget Turcotte, and they presented the Martineau family with a check for $5,000 at the Nahant Police Department on Tuesday as Myla Martineau was diagnosed with a form of cancer known as embryal, I can't even begin to try to pronounce this, back in January after her parents, Jessica and Mark Martineau, had noticed a lump on the back on her back in December. So she has the cancer, and thanks for the fundraising being done by the police. They have a check of $5,000. I do have one other money story from the item today, also on the front page. This in the form of a federal grant, a little bit different, but the Lynn Housing Authority, a $720,000 federal assistance award to the Lynn Housing Authority Neighborhood Development will help continue to moderate one of the agency's centerpiece complexes. That's the Wall Plaza Senior Housing Project. And so that announcement was made yesterday. Thor Jorgensen with that story in the daily item out of Lynn today.
Yeah, and along the same lines, the State House is reporting that Governor Baker is pledging more money for potholes and bridge repairs. But municipal leaders are saying the $50 million, $200 million bond bill will be divided among 351 municipalities to repave roads and pay for other transportation projects. And municipal leaders are saying that's not enough money, so what else is new? But at least the cities and towns are getting something back from the state. And I do remember when the first sales tax was imposed, it was temporary. I believe it was 3%. And, this will solve all the state's money woes. And then it went up to 5%. Now it's 6.25%. And what was the other thing? Oh, I know. The Tobin Bridge, there'd be no more toll for that. That would go away. And, what was the latest? The lottery will save the state too. So we just keep packing it in, and I don't know where the bozo the money goes. But anyway, the governor he's pledging more money to cities and towns for infrastructure repairs.
I got one more for you: casinos. But there was a story where the revenue from the casino is at Plain River Park, down south. The money has increased in the last reporting period. So that's. That's good news. Maybe all the roads will be paid for through that casino.
Well,
The
thing with a casino is at least you have a choice to play or not to play. With the others, we don't really have a choice. Well, I guess with a lottery you do too.
No, you have a choice with the lottery.
Right.
But you're right.
You're right.
You don't with the others. And you talk about the toll on the Tobin Bridge though, Rick. The toll booths are gone. That's progress, right?
The toll booths are gone, but not the fee.
No toll takers, no toll booths. But somehow or other, the tolls just keep on coming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm just thinking about this now. Remember the debate that we were having just a couple of weeks ago statewide? The MBTA was having a number of different hearings around the state. One of them was at Bree Junior High School in Lynn. And, I'm thinking of they talk about raising the rates for I can't believe these words are going to come out of my mouth right now, but here they go. They talk about raising the rates for the T riders, but on the other hand, to increase T ridership, to increase money, increase the tolls going in. I mean, I hate to even say that, but one of the things about the thing is that you have a potload of people that can use the T because it goes to the places that they go. But then you have a lot of other people that just, there's no way they can use the T because it really doesn't go to the places that they need to go. And you have to drive, Maybe that's an excuse, but it's just, nothing's really easy. And so whatever. So, but the tolls haven't gone up too much. I really in the last year, a few years, right? I mean, they were jacked up a number of years ago, but and I'm hoping that they don't go up anymore. We don't need them to go up. You know what it is too? Here's another thing. I have the Easy Pass now. I don't know if you have that, Rick, but
I do.
But I was the dinosaur until a few years ago, and I didn't have one. And somehow or other, I always felt that that maybe it was better just to stop, pay the tolls. You kind of feel that money coming out of your pocket every time. Now you don't, and I think subliminally, that's huge. You just don't. You don't even look at your statement. I hate to even say that because it comes online and you got to log in and do all this stuff. I mean, it's a nice racket they've got going there with the Easy Pass. That's for sure. And But on the other hand, I can really now, when you travel from different places and you're, whether you're in Massachusetts or other states, and you in New Hampshire, you don't have to pull over, stop, pay the toll. You just keep going, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's helpful when you're head up to ski country. I'll tell you, it's at 6 a.m. It's pretty cool. You don't have to worry about finding the quarters and the dollar bills. So yeah, it is. It's definitely convenient, but I don't even check the bill. I just pay it.
I know. It goes automatically for mine too.
Yeah,
so yeah. Those days of scrambling for money coming out of the tray or wherever, your pockets, yeah, bending over, swerving lanes, looking for the change, looking for that dollar, asking your wife, "Hey, do you have the dollar? Do you have a dollar with you?" Because you know you don't have that $1 going through the New Hampshire tolls, and then whatever. So we don't have to worry about that. But you know what it is? I did notice last weekend I was doing some traveling, and I am still surprised. There's still a lot of people that don't have the Easy Pass, and God bless them. You know, that's fine. You know what I mean? Don't get it. But on the other hand, I'm still surprised that there aren't more and more people with the Easy Pass, to be honest with you. And I don't know what that ratio is. That'd be an interesting stat to get.
Yep. Well, you know, progress in the 21st century and all that. I was talking to a woman yesterday who was, she's age 80 and she's still skiing, and she was talking about going online and doing this and with her smartphone, and it was pretty cool to see. You can teach some of us old dogs new tricks, I guess. I was a latecomer to the Easy Pass. I didn't get it until this past winter. I got it, I think it was last February, first time I used it. And I have one more quick note, Bill, out of Cape Ann. In Rockport, the selectmen will be hosting a hearing on an entertainment license for the Lobster Pool, which is at 329 Granite Street. And this will be on Tuesday, February 23 at 7 p.m. in the conference room at Rockport Town Hall. And there are some people opposed to it because of the music that travels along the waterfront into people's homes. So that should make for an interesting little get-together next Tuesday up in Rockport.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. The sound does travel over water. It really does. I remember spending a few summers up on Lake Winnipesaukee, and which is, not that big, but you can hear sounds coming from different, on an evening from far away. So I'm sure that would be that's certainly a factor for folks to consider. I actually had not thought about that, other than the fact that if you do have entertainment right down the street from you, that can be an issue too, but, whatever. All right. Hey, you know something, Rick? I wanted to mention one thing. Public servants, sometimes they often get wrapped. But you know something? I went up to the Middleton Jail yesterday, or whatever, correctional facility, and I got to give Sheriff Cousins a lot of credit because he came in. There was some issues with the sheriff's department a number of years ago, and this is something we didn't talk about. But I really tell you that the staff there is really friendly, and they're very nice. People are treated incredibly well. And, I came up there, I was with the sheriff, and we were in the office, and we were talking, and he I think he asked me the question, something like, and this wasn't the exact question, but have you been here before? And maybe I made a reference that this is very nice up here, and he said, "Have you been here before?" And I go, "Well, I was over on the other side," and meaning the jail part, and because I had brought some students up there. They had the Scared Straight program and a number of things. I'd been there at least once or twice with students touring the facility, but I didn't get a chance to get that back out to him before he had to leave the room quickly. But the staff there is very friendly. I wasn't sure whether his offices were in a newer building down below, but they weren't. They were in the older building. And, it's just everybody was very nice, very polite, very friendly. And, I thought, it really made an impression. So, I think the folks that have relatives, have friends in that facility, hopefully they feel, at least as they enter into the perimeters of the facility, feel very well treated. So everyone seemed to be very pleasant when I was there.
I think it underscores the fact that the culture of an organization does come from the top down. We've been to changing the subject a little bit, but sort of on the same issue. We've been down to Foxborough to Gillette Stadium many times, Bill, and every single employee that we have ever run into has been super polite, very smiling, and very seemingly enjoying his or her job. And I'm reminded of the parking lot attendants. We went one December when it was about, 10 degrees out there, And, you know, you're there at 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, and the same guy sees you coming and going, and he's smiling, and he's still frozen. The elevator operator, remember, one time we were there for about 10 hours, and the elevator operator in the morning was the same person in the evening when we left, and she was just as polite and smiling and happy as could be. And these are people sort of on the lower end of the pay scale, I would think, but they must be treated very nicely themselves, and they, in turn, pass that on to people who visit the facility. So it can be done. It can you can enjoy your job, and people can be polite.
Absolutely. Well, let's run that interview we have with Sheriff Cousins. And again, it's it focuses on his detox program. But again, he did announce yesterday that he is not going to seek re-election. So he's got about one more year to serve in his current term as Essex County Sheriff. Then we'll be back with some other thoughts just ahead here on North Shore Today.
MSONewsSports.com. We're joined by Frank Cousins, the Sheriff, Essex County. And Sheriff Cousins, welcome to MSO News Sports.
Thanks for having me on today. This is great.
Well, you have some breaking news here from the office that you are not seeking re-election. So tell us about that decision.
Thanks, Bill. After 20 years of being the sheriff of Essex County, I've decided today is nomination day to pull out papers. I've decided not to pull my nomination papers out, and I feel very comfortable about that. And I've really enjoyed being the sheriff here in Essex County and serving the citizens. And it gives me an opportunity to kind of look back on things we've done.
Well, if you were to look back on a few things, other than we're gonna talk about this detox program that you have, but let's put that aside for right now. What kind of accomplishments or what kind of things will you walk away from here and say, geez, this is something we've done and we did it well?
Well, I really think that number one thing is to, you know, the public to understand that we're really working hard and really tried to restore public confidence to the office of sheriff. I think the other great thing that's been done is the level of programming and educational program to really turn people's lives around to keep them out of jail. And then the final thing is staff development. We have really a great group of correctional officers, sergeants and lieutenants, the captains that help us run the agency, which is, you know, today is number one.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the deep detox unit, which is take us back how that all got started and what it is.
What happened was approximately a couple of years ago, and really further back than that, we identified the whole issue of opiates and prescription medications, OxyContin, Vicodin, is really starting to put a lot of pretrial people into the jail here. So about 2 years ago, we looked at it and said a lot of quality of life crimes. We see individuals getting held on bail from $500 to $1,500. The legislator identified that as a problem, and we looked at that and said, how can we better serve these people? So we came up with this detox idea for 28-day programming to really let people catch their breath and really kind of try to turn around their lives.
Yeah. Now, so tell us how that happened. So, in other words, give me one case example of how this might happen for someone that's gets into the court system.
Yeah. What traditionally was happening was people were coming in and maybe staying 2 or 3 days on a dangerousness hearing, maybe having a spin dry of their alcohol or a drug addiction, then sent back to the court. And what we were finding was people were being arrested again for, you know, driving the car under the influence, stealing at a Walmart or a supermarket or bouncing bad checks, and they were getting arrested again on multiple open cases, and their problem of addiction was not being addressed properly. So what we decided to do was to take them and say, hey, we're gonna have you go for 28 days, you agree to it in open court, and then at the end of 28 days, go back to court to have your case adjudicated.
Now, do they get any kind of favorable treatment for completing a course like this in the eyes of the court?
The court likes people that are willing to address their addictions, and more importantly, when they go back, they're willing to address their shortcomings of, I made a mistake. They have their case adjudicated. They get put on probation. And you're kind of moving the case through the system like we used to do 30, 35 years ago. Yeah. And as opposed to having them come back as a pretrial hold them again, then go back to court. So I think the courts have been great. The judges have been very, very good. And it's been a really positive thing to try to move people along.
Now, tell us about the actual program itself and kind of the curriculum's probably not the right word, but it might be appropriate.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, what we tried to do was when we looked at it, it's kind of going back to the 80s. In the 80s, before we had a lot of reforms in healthcare, people would be afforded the opportunity through their health insurance to go somewhere and catch their breath for 28 days if they were addicted to alcohol or drugs. So Dr. Steve Alley from AdCare is our treatment person. He identified the 28 days. I was in full agreement. Our staff was in agreement. So what we wanted to do was to structure a program for 28 days. So there's a lot of NA, AA meetings. We have three counselors that are on duty up there that will break up the caseload of the 42 people and really give them individual one-on-one counseling. We also bring peer people over that are in our drug and alcohol sentence unit to talk to them about being in prison, having addictions, and really helping them. And the other thing that is great is we have a lot of 12-step programs coming at night, so a lot of these individuals will pick up sponsors and people that will help them when they get released from the detox.
Well, that sounds huge in itself, just to have a connection leading somebody out of here to back into the community and back into life. What's the what are the statistics, so to speak, or I don't know if you'd be able to track them from people being released?
Yeah, what we're doing is our statistician, Mo Pratt, is tracking all of the people that are being released. We talk to them the minute they come in so they understand that the statistics are very important. We feel that we're going to be able to service about 500 people in the first full calendar year. Right now, in the first 2 months, we've served just a little bit over 100 people. We've had very good results with people going into long-term treatment, halfway houses, group homes, supervision by probation. We have had one failure where someone has overdosed and died up in Lawrence. It was a young 19-year-old boy. You are going to have those type of things happen anytime you're dealing with people with addictions. But we're looking at somewhere between 35 and 38% of these people not reoffending, not using drugs, not violating probation or parole after 1 year. So we're tracking those statistics.
Wow. Well, and again, now how does this relate? You know, you're probably now an expert on insurances and mass health and how this might how people are impacted and assisted once they again leave the program.
One of the things that we do when people come into jail, usually their mass health is taken away if they're sentenced. One of the things we're working with mass health on is when people come in a pretrial setting is to keep them on mass health for that 30-day period so when they leave, they will have health insurance, which is very important, as we all know. And the other thing is, some of them might be interested in Vivitrol, and that's something that's picked up by MassHealth. It's kind of a beta blocker for heroin use. So a few people have been trying that. So MassHealth has been pretty successful working with us.
Gotcha. You know, one of the things that maybe we could share or you could share with us is, you know, the Gloucester Police Chief has, started the PARE program, which is around nationally now in a lot of different pockets around the country. Maybe just kind of share how that is kind of related to what you're doing.
Yeah. We've had good rapport with the chief of police in Gloucester. I was very happy with what he's trying to do to keep people from being arrested and getting into treatment. I've talked to him at length about his program. He has a great understanding of what we're trying to accomplish with the pretrial people. It really works hand in hand. So someone that has been arrested for these quality of life crimes, it gives them an opportunity to go down for 28 days and catch their breath.
I'm thinking that in the big scheme of things here, this is a brand new program, and that there must be people out there that might be listening and saying, well, I know somebody or I know situations where is this something that you can kind of get into or do you really? I understand it's coming through the court system, but what if there are people out there that say, geez, this is what this person could really use?
Well, if they've unfortunately violated probation or parole or committed a crime, those are the individuals we're looking for.
Yeah.
It's groundbreaking. It's never been done before in Massachusetts or New England. So we went to Washington last week and talked about it with our legislative delegation and the drugs, Michael Botticelli. So there's a lot of interest on this program and with the National Sheriff's Association also.
Gotcha. Well, Sheriff Cousins, anything else you want to share with us about either this program or anything else happening?
No, I just thank you, Bill, for coming up. I think it's important that we continue the awareness of prescription medication and the opiates with the public, because it's affected a lot of good families, and everybody knows people that are struggling.
All right, Sheriff Cousins, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Sheriff Frank Cousins from Essex County here on MSONewsSports.com.
Okay, take a look at sports, I guess, Sarah. Bill, the only thing I have from last night is that the Ipswich boys basketball team made the state tournament last night. They were in a must-win situation against Gloucester. I believe it was a home game for Ipswich. And they beat the Fishermen, I think it was by 2 points. So Gloucester is already in the tournament. And we heard Coach Cahill talk on Monday night. What's today? Wednesday? Yeah, Monday night about... trying to jockey for position or a higher seeding in the tournament. He really wanted to win that game against Ipswich. On the other hand, Ipswich, had to win the game to make the tournament, and they did.
Gotcha. Well, we'll keep folks posted on the tournament, as those announcements will be coming very shortly here in just a matter of days or so, and teams are just trying to qualify, as we talked about yesterday. Perfect example right there, Ipswich boys basketball qualifying for the state tournament. So that'll do it. Don't forget to, you can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at msonewsports. And along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day. This is North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.